You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I'm Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
Jim Harbaugh has left Michigan for the NFL, taking the head coaching job with the Los Angeles Chargers. We react to the news and discuss what, really who, is next for Michigan football. Coming up on Wolverine Confidential. Okay, guys, good to be here with you Thursday morning, January 25th, and Wednesday night it became official that Jim Harbaugh has left Michigan for the NFL. He takes a job with the Los Angeles Chargers. It's all official. The Chargers have announced it. Michigan has announced it. There's no immediate reaction. Is that it's not a surprise. Our listeners know we've obviously been talking about this. Knew it was just kind of just took a team showing interest in him and a good fit, and Harbaugh was going to leave, and that's what happened.
Yeah, this was like 2 years in the making. I mean, we've been talking about this the last really three off seasons, right? It was just about, like you said, finding the right fit, getting an offer, and then going, and that's what happened. I think the handwriting was kind of on the wall, you know, back in December when you hired the agent. That clearly signaled that he was serious this year about going to the NFL. That was the stated goal, the end goal, and you know he was able to get an offer from the Los Angeles Chargers. He'd spent a couple of days in Los Angeles, flew out there Tuesday, meetings extended into Wednesday, and then you know yesterday afternoon, at least locally there in Los Angeles, the two sides were able to strike a deal. We don't know the particulars just yet. ESPN's Adam Schefter did report that it was a five-year deal. We haven't seen figures yet, or at least I haven't. And we don't know what the organizational structure is going to look like. I don't believe the Chargers have hired a GM yet, so we're waiting to see what happens there. But still a lot to be determined. But yeah, Jim Harbaugh has headed back to the National Football League.
Yeah, I mean, this really should come to a surprise to no one. We've talked about in previous pods, like if Jim got an offer this year from an NFL team, more likely than not, he was going to take it no matter what Michigan did or tried to do to keep him in Ann Arbor. I mean, he has talked about winning the Super Bowl as being the pinnacle of his profession, and he came close once, wants to do that again, and he's coming off a national championship. And a team that is going to look much different in 2024 at Michigan and potential NCAA sanctions. So the writing was on the wall, as Aaron said, and it was just, to me, a matter of time when it was going to happen, not if.
Yeah, I want to ask you guys, because I'm seeing some reaction, you know, from fans on social media. You know, they want to blame athletic director Ward Manuel for not, you know, doing more or just basically not keeping Harbaugh. Harbaugh has left, and they are upset about this. I mean, I saw a tweet from a regent, Sarah Hubbard. You know, we put so much support on the table and did everything we could to keep Coach Harbaugh, but at the end of the day, we can't give him a Super Bowl ring. And then, you know, you've got Ward Manuel's statement, which was more specific than most, you know, his statements and kind of statements you see when a coach leaves necessarily. You know, Santa Ono, the president at Michigan, just, you know, said, "We have been in talks with Jim Harbaugh for the last several weeks and have tried our best to retain him as football coach." Then Ward Manuel said, you know, we have been discussing a new contract that would make Jim the highest paid coach in college football. In the end, he wanted to explore and ultimately decided to pursue a return to coaching in the NFL. So I guess where do you guys kind of stand on that, whether, you know, Michigan could have kept him or if Manuel deserves any blame, I guess.
You can blame Ward Manuel for a lot of things, and perhaps rightfully so, but I'm not going to put this on him or the Michigan administration or Santa Ana or anyone in general. I think it boils down to this. Jim was destined to go back to the NFL. That's what he wanted to do. He had accomplished everything he could in the college level. He won a national title. He won 3 Big Ten titles. There was nothing left for him to do. And you throw in the caveat of him wanting to try and chase a Super Bowl, as he stated, you know, back in early 2022, it was the right time to go. And I don't know if anything Michigan could have, I don't know if there was anything Michigan could have done to sway him. They could have probably doubled his salary and offered all the reassurances in the world that they wouldn't suspend him or they wouldn't fire him for cause if NCAA violations came out. I think this is what Jim wanted to do, and I don't think there's much of anything that could have changed his opinion. It's a weird thing because, you know, this is a guy who spent 4 years in the NFL. He had a lot of success there. He came back to his alma mater. So I think there's this segment of the fan base who maybe didn't want to see Jim Harbaugh go ever. But I don't think you're grounded in reality if you think that. You know, Jim has always been an NFL guy. He played there. He coached there. And then you throw in everything, like there's nothing else he could have done more at Michigan. I mean, he hit the pinnacle. Like he's a guy who always wants a challenge, who always wants to try and hit the next level. And there's nothing of that in the college level to do that. So I would not put the blame on Ward Manuel in the situation.
Well, I mean, he could be try and become the next Nick Saban at the college level. That would be something, but yeah, I mean, it's doubtful as well, but no, I mean, I agree with what Aaron is saying, and I'm actually happy that Michigan didn't really budge on some of his demands in the first place anyways. I mean, it is a public university, so it's like it's not like there is unlimited funds. People are just saying, oh, pay him whatever he wants. Well, it's not like an owner's money that is paying the coach. So it's like there's other factors at play there. And it's like, oh yeah, he wants like immunity from any like NCAA sanctions. I mean, I think Michigan's administration handled this fine. I don't think there's any blame. And like Aaron said, it was all about his desire to go to the NFL. If he got an offer, most people in the know thought he was going to go and accept it and try and win a Super Bowl. That's exactly what happened. Yeah, Michigan might have made a last second push and gave up some of their leverage, but it was too late by then. It was always too late because when Harbaugh had his sights set on an NFL, in my opinion, when he hired an agent, and that the opportunity presented itself and he took it. That's was destined to happen. I mean, we could talk about other coaching and other administration issues that probably are Ward's fault and the administration's fault. But like Aaron said, this is not one of them.
And let's not sugarcoat this. If Jim had gotten an offer from the Vikings in 2022, early 2020, he would have left. Like he didn't turn the Vikings or the Broncos down to return to Michigan. He came back because he didn't have an offer from the NFL. So he could have left theoretically 2 years ago and he wanted to. Fortunately for Michigan, he came back and the program not only continued to run a success, but won a national title out of it. But Jim was ready to go a couple of years ago. So it was just a matter of getting, like you said, getting that offer. And not only did it come, but it came from an organization where he's as familiar as it comes. I mean, he played for the Chargers. He knows the Spaniels family very well. He's very acclimated to Southern California. He knows the landscape very well. He's still got several ties out there. So, it was just a matter of time. I think, like you said, the variable was time there. He was going to go back. It was just a matter of when.
Yeah. I think great points all around, mostly because I agree with them. The NCAA sanctions are an interesting, element to this. I'm not sure that Harbaugh's running away from what might be coming down the road, but he might be running away from some of the nonsense in general that he feels that, you know, is going on with the NCAA that he wouldn't have to deal with at the next level. But, we may never know that for sure. But yeah, I mean, this is obviously the end of an era, and we've, you know, had many stories already on MLive.com/Wolverines about this, and we'll have more to come. But Yeah, Harbaugh came here, in 2015 when the program was, in a bad place after, two failed, coaching stints after Lloyd Carr. And he turned it around. It took him maybe a little longer than some expected, but obviously this recent run of success can't be denied. Ward Manuel in his statement, said that he and Harbaugh, spoke after, Harbaugh now told him he was leaving for the NFL. And he said that Harbaugh offered his assistance in helping identify the needs for the program moving forward. And Manuel added, "We are working quickly to hire the next head coach for the program and will do everything possible to keep this current staff and team together." I think we all know kind of where that points to for Michigan's next potential head coach.
Yeah, Ward had two tracks here, right? Either hire internally, promote Sherrill Moore from within and make it quick, or open this up and do a national search and interview candidates and bring in some names from other schools. Those comments certainly signal that he's planning, at least currently, to promote from within. And all signs point to Sherrill Moore being the guy. I mean, he was the shining star this year. He was the guy that Jim Harbaugh constantly spoke up, praised. He coached the final three games of the regular season and got the wins over Penn State and Ohio State. So it's clearly there for Sherrill Moore to take. That seems to be where Michigan is playing to go. We should know more probably in the next week. I know they're supposed to technically post this job and supposed to sit up there for 7 days before a move is made. We'll see if that actually happens. But nonetheless, yes, Sherrill Moore is their front runner. I don't know if there are any really other serious candidates. I mean, I'm sure some agents will be reaching out to Ward in Michigan to see if, hey, do you guys want to talk to my guy? But, if Ward is dead set on keeping things kind of on train on the track, so to speak, Sherrill would be the natural successor there. Now, that's not to say that he's going to have everyone at his disposal, right? I'm expecting several Michigan coaches to follow Jim to Los Angeles, Jesse Minter being one, his son Jay being the other, potentially more. And that will force, Sherrill to either hire some of his own guys or promote from within. But there will be change nonetheless. But given the timeline too, and that's the other variable here. Typically, college coaching hires are made a little earlier than this. This is at the very tail end of things. So, look, spring practice is supposed to kick off here within the next, 6 to 7 weeks. So time is of the essence for Michigan. They need to move quickly, and that would signal promoting Sherrill Moore.
Yeah, the only thing I can see maybe hindering Michigan from hiring Sherrill Moore is maybe if they know if he's implicated in any of these NCAA investigations. But at this point, it does seem logical. It will be interesting to see how much of a commitment Michigan makes to Moore if they do hire him. I don't expect like a monster long-term deal. He is only 37 years old. No head coaching experience except for this year, filling in for Harbaugh for a few games. So I expect it to be a shorter prove it deal. I mean, I don't think it'll be like 1 or 2 years because that's just not really existent in college football. But I don't expect it to be some like 10-year mega deal like you see some coaches. He has a lot to prove. And like we've said, I mean, this is going to be a completely different looking team next year with how much they're losing the NFL draft. Obviously, now the portal is open for the entire team for another 30 days, so there could be some more attrition there. We'll see how he fills out his staff and if he's able to keep the roster intact. But there's a lot to prove, and this almost a little bit reminds me of the LSU 2019 run when they went undefeated 15-0 and then lost a bunch of people to the draft. I think there was five or so the first round picks afterwards, and they finished 5-5 the next year. So I don't think the wheels are going to fall off the Michigan program, but there is a lot of question marks. And I think for at least the next couple of years, it would just make sense to keep more in the fold and try and keep as much continuity as possible.
If they were to go outside, I mean, are there any names even, worth mentioning here? I mean, Kalen DeBoer, obviously the former Washington coach was intriguing to me, but obviously now off the table is, if we look at it, three of the four college football playoff teams, we'll have new head coaches next year. Are there any others worth mentioning here if they decide to go that route?
Yeah, I mean, there have been names floated nationally. They're not really sexy names. They're not like off the page. Page turners. Lance Leipold is one at Kansas. He's won again. Another guy where he's won everywhere he's been. He is an older guy. So if you want to go the older route, I mean, there are options. Chris Kleiman at Kansas State's another one. Again, he's in the mid-50s. Another guy who's kind of worked his way up and won everywhere he's been. I think an intriguing name that I put in my list last night, if Michigan does decide to go outside, search Dave Clawson at Wake Forest. He's had a long stretch of success at Wake. I know it's not a football powerhouse, but he's recruited relatively well and won football games. He has a unique offensive system. I don't know if it would work in the Big Ten, but it would certainly be intriguing. And then one kind of outside the box name I threw out there, and I don't know if this is legit or not, but like Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator of the Ravens. I mean, if Michigan wants to kind of keep the Ravens pipeline going, it would be interesting. He's been a longtime offensive coordinator. He was the OC for Kirby Smart at Georgia under his national title runs. He did have a short stint as a head coach in college, so he has been a head coach before. Another guy who's older in age. So I don't know. If you want to go younger, I mean, they could look at, Mike McDonald will be an option. Michigan could put another name I was thinking of this morning, Jed Fish. He did just take the Washington job, but I got to think if Michigan called him, he would certainly listen.
Oh man.
It would be like full circle, right? Cause he started with Jim. So it's like, I don't know. I think you'd have a lot of guys, and this goes back to the timing thing, right? Like this isn't an ideal time to pluck a head coach from an existing school, just because a lot of folks are in place. Some guys have just got hired and made the move. So it would be weird. I think folks would pick up the phone and listen and certainly probably be interested. A lot of guys would be. It's just a matter of whether they would fit here and whether, Michigan would generally, think they could be a long-term success, have long-term success.
Beat the wheels off Washington in the national championship and then steal their new head coach a month later, that would be something. But no, yeah, it is hard to find a sexy external candidate at this point. I mean, if I had to pick maybe two that I would be intrigued by, it would be Kleiman and Leipold. I there's not as much resources at both those programs, and they've shown that the ability to win games there. But again, it's there's not many Michigan ties for either of those guys too. And that's something that I know Michigan prides itself into. So we'll see if anyone new emerges in the next day or two. But I mean, to me, it just seems like all signs are pointing to Sharon at this point.
You guys with all your sexy talk. I mean, it's not about winning the press conference. It's about winning football games. And those guys all those guys Aaron mentioned are very good football coaches, I think. Clawson, I've got a lot of family ties to Wake Forest, and yeah, he's a good coach. But yes, I at the same time, I see what you mean. It's almost like don't overcomplicate this, maybe is the way to think about it and going with Sharon Moore. And it sure seems like maybe that's where they're going to go. I saw, Aaron posted just before we started recording on MLive.com/Wolverines about, how the process could go to hire more and some of the logistics of it with, posting the job. I'm going to refresh the page right now as we're talking here. I am still not seeing it. There's a groundskeeper internship and an associate facility manager for in the athletics department here on the Ann Arbor campus. But that's all I'm seeing in the job postings. Now it still has to go up, but is that the deal? But maybe would not have to be up for as long if they want to get more in there quickly.
Bingo. Typically the university policy is it has to be up 7 calendar days before it's filled. But as you said, the athletic department could obtain a waiver from the HR department to speed that up. So the signals to me that if the job isn't up by now, they're certainly not in a hurry to get it up, which would signal, that they're working behind the scenes to get that waiver. And again, another reason it could certainly point to Sharon getting the job. Going back to what you guys were just talking about too, I think if you're a Ward Manuel and you're looking at this big picture and you're looking at a potential list of external candidates, if he's even considering them, if there's not a name that jumps off the page that can be that next transformative guy at Michigan, why even do it? And you're, I think you're better off just rolling with Sharon, just to, like you said, keep the continuity, keep things in place to see if it works. I mean, there's no guarantee it's going to work with Sharon. I mean, he's his own guy. He's going to run, he's going to do his own thing, but at least the pieces are in place already to where, you know, it wouldn't be an immediate teardown by bringing in a new coach. That's the thing people forget about. You hire a new coach, they clean the house and the staff, the players leave the transfer portal. They have to re-recruit people. And at this time of the year, in end of January, it's not ideal. So you would basically be giving up next year. So I don't know. Sharon makes the most logical sense to me. He may not be like the home run hire. Maybe some folks maybe are concerned about maybe his lack of experience or the case may be. But I mean, he knows the Michigan system, right? He knows the politics behind the scenes. He's already been in place. He knows what it takes to win. So why not?
Those are valid concerns too. I mean, like we've said, he hasn't coached many places. Yeah, he's been under Jim for a while, and Jim's given him a lot of praise. But I mean, he's still only 37 years old too. If he was the head coach this year, he would have been the sixth youngest in FBS. So there's a very young guy and who hasn't ran his own program before too. So it's risky too to hire Sharon. Whatever direction they go, it's not an ideal time to be going through a coaching search. But hey, it is. I mean, if it doesn't work out in a year or two and you don't see progress, and you can expand your search then, and maybe there's more candidates that are more viable at that point. So yeah, it's at this point, it's kind of patchwork and kind of keeping things status quo as much as possible to see if they can head into 2024 with some sort of continuity.
I mean, Sharon Moore, of course, was the head coach for four games this past season, including the Penn State and Ohio State games. But it was just those days. He was the head coach for 4 days, not even the weeks leading up to it. Harbaugh was not suspended for that time. And so much of being the head coach anyway is what goes on even at things outside the season. So he got a taste of it, but not really. That being said, obviously, I think it still is important that, he managed the head coaching operations and his play calling duties and still, led Michigan to big wins. I did see with the job posting thing in your story, Aaron, that they could even they wouldn't even necessarily need the waiver if the job requires less than 20 hours a week, then it's at the discretion of the athletic department to just say how long the job needs to be posted for. Do you think the Michigan head football coaching job is more than 20 hours a week?
Knowing what Jim did and sleeping in the office sometimes and showering in the office and not going home, I'm confident saying it was well over 40 hours a week.
That the games alone, especially those on Fox, I feel like are close to 20 hours. So I guess, yeah, that's true. I guess what are your thoughts for how maybe quickly this can happen? Kind of what comes next with, recruiting and the roster and, just sort of big picture in the short term for the Michigan football program.
Well, if they can get the waiver, I think Sharon could be in place as soon as the weekend. It wouldn't shock me at all if Michigan comes out Friday with an announcement or Saturday with an announcement saying Sharon Moore's the guy. I mean, they got to move quickly just to stem off the potential departures, keep things in place. Like you said, recruiting, and Zook can speak to that. But like, if you're dead set on keeping him in place, it's got to be done quickly. There's no point in waiting, especially at this time of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was kind of recruits expected this even before signing day in December. I mean, the few guys I spoke with in the 2024 class, I mean, they knew Jim Harbaugh was flirting with the NFL again, and it was a possibility that he could leave, but they kind of all endorsed Sharon Moore and felt that he would be the replacement if Harbaugh did indeed leave. And that's where we are now. And a couple of them that I spoke with yesterday also think it's going to be Sharon. So, maybe things change for some of these guys if they do go externally, but at least for the current commits and recent signees, I think that Sharon would be the safest hire in that regard. But yeah, other guys, I mean, they only have three commits right now in the 2025 class. So whoever they hire is going to need to hit the ground running. And yeah, if they are able to hire Sharon before the weekend, that gives him a little bit of time here during this crucial contact period that lasts until February 4th to either go visit with some recruits, bring them in on campus. Because it is an important contact period where they can interact with prospective prospects, and build those relationships heading into the rest of winter and then before spring ball. So big time on the recruiting calendar. And like Aaron said, it definitely would behoove Michigan to act swiftly if they can.
And people forget too, like Sharone is considered one of the best recruiters on staff. I mean, so if you're not directly recruited by him, especially on the offensive side of the ball, you're at least, you're in contact with him. There's discussion, there's touch there. So I think they'd be okay from a recruiting perspective, at least on the offensive side of the ball. The defensive side of the ball, I'd be concerned about, especially with Minter leaving. I know he wasn't like a high profile recruiter or anything, but like to have the architect leave, assuming he does follow Jim to Los Angeles, I do think that would play a factor. But I do think if you look at Sharone's past, I mean, he's landed some big time guys on both sides of the ball. Daxon Hill he came here because of Sharone Moore, essentially. He was able to convince him to stay. So, Sharone is the guy when it comes to recruiting that would help. And we'll see, but I think that certainly helps his case for being, you know, the next head coach as well.
Yeah. I mean, Harbaugh is not maybe the typical coach that's leaving a college program for either another one or the NFL, in that he obviously has so many ties to Michigan and loves Michigan. He really does, you know, is invested in how they do going forward. But I mean, do you think that matters all as far as the staff? He's not going to not take Jesse Minter just, you know, to do Michigan a favor and, oh, I'll leave you this great defensive coordinator. Like if he wants him, he's going to not raid, but he's going to take the guys he wants at the end of the day, no matter what. Right.
Yeah, I would think so. Like Jesse Minter, I mean, you could say he's a Michigan guy, but he's actually a Harbaugh guy, right? John gave him a start. Jim kind of elevated him to an elite defensive coordinator in college. So I would think Minter's loyalties lie with the Harbaughs opposed to Michigan. And as you said, I think Jim, you know, he's probably not, yeah, he's not going to raid Michigan staff, but he's going to take the guys he feels like are going to help him. And B, you know, are potential shining stars, you know, guys like Grant Newsom, he's talked about in the past. It wouldn't surprise me if he at least takes a look at him. Ben Herbert's a question mark, right? Does he stay? And I think that's
the big one.
So there's some questions there. I do think Minter and Jay go. Other than that, we'll see who else he takes. But no, I don't think there's going to be a wholesale raid. But he's certainly going to take guys he feels like can certainly help him in Los Angeles.
Yeah, Ben Herbert is very interesting just because, I mean, obviously it's not just Jim that is giving him a lot of praise throughout his career. But, like, I mean, he is one of the most well-compensated strength and conditioning coaches in college football. And at the NFL, I don't think they're as vital. I mean, I think a lot of guys have their own strength and conditioning personal trainers and stuff too. And it's – I think he's more valuable to Michigan than he would be at the NFL level. But I know, I mean, Jim really loves him too. So that will be an interesting one to see how that unfolds. I think that could hurt recruiting more than some positional coaches if Michigan loses Herbert. But yeah, that's another one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think, in the NFL, many of the guys are already more physically developed. And I know Herbert, you know, his value goes beyond that, but I think even some of those kind of techniques and methods and kind of the culture that he helped instill is also more, you know, appropriate and beneficial at the college level. But we shall see. We'll have coverage of all of this as, you know, Michigan transitions from Jim Harbaugh to its next head coach on MLive.com/Wolverines. Thanks for listening.